Now, what this means is that these singers have memorized a bunch of formulae so that they can fill out a line. They've got some type scenes. They've got a general story, but then they make up the story each time. And they make it up because they've listened to other people sing these stories for their whole lives. And most of the singers are quite old. They've listened through their whole growing up process of sitting in these coffee houses at night during Ramadan and listening to these men tell these stories. And they built up more and more and more stories. Well, Perry and Lord realized that some of the characteristics in these stories were very much like those in Homer and those in other classical materials that were supposed to be written. Then when they compared them to things like Beowulf, they also found similarities. And what this showed was that there was an existing oral tradition going around through various cultures that only got written down very, very late. If you think about it, for the vast majority of human history, humans were illiterate, so they couldn't write down their epic tales. But they could pass them on in something like this form of oral composition. And it also showed that instead of trying to expect someone to memorize a 3,000-line poem, they could memorize a set of techniques that could make them generate a 3,000-line poem. Now, if you're skeptical of this idea and how it might connect to fantasy, you can see exactly how this process worked, because in the 1960s, after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, a Yugoslavian epic singer made up a poem called A Death in Dallas. And he had read newspaper articles about the Kennedy assassination, but he cast it as a traditional Serbo-Croatian oral epic poem, and it's been recorded and it still exists. Now, my point in bringing this all up is that's very much how someone like J.R.R. Tolkien worked, not necessarily in the oral tradition, but in the same process of taking material and building it into a very, very large epic format. The other important point is perhaps the reason that fantasy is so popular is it taps into this deep cultural root of an oral tradition that we've always had in our culture, but which was supplanted really in the Victorian period, maybe you can say even in the 18th century, but it was supplanted by the novel. Before then, all storytelling was oral storytelling. Even if people read stories, they read them aloud. And it's only with the advent of cheap books in the Victorian period that more and more people start to write. The quote, hordes of scribbling women that came out in the Victorian period who invented the novel, really, as much as any male writers did. Jane Austen and the Bronte sisters and many, many lesser writers also. What happened then for a couple hundred years or maybe 150 years is the novel, the written novel, took over from oral tradition. And novels can do things that oral traditions can't do. Novels are really good about deep psychological motivation. They're very good about minute description of human interaction. But they weren't particularly good at the epic sweep of things. Yes, you have Sir Walter Scott and you have the Victorian adventure novels. But they were still following the canons of realism.